1 Kings chapter 10, verses 1 through 10. 1 Kings chapter 10, verses 1 through 10. And when the queen of Sheba heard of the fame of Solomon concerning the name of the Lord, she came to prove him with hard questions. And she came to Jerusalem with a very great train, with camels that bear spices and very much gold and precious stones. And when she was come to Solomon, she communed with him all that was in her heart. And Solomon told her all her questions. There was not anything hid from the king, which he told her not. And when the queen of Sheba had seen all Solomon's wisdom and the house that he had built and the meat of his table and the sitting of his servants and the attendance of his ministers and their apparel and his cupbearers and his ascent by which he went unto the house of the Lord, there was no more spirit in her. And she said to the king, "It was a true report that I heard in my own land of all thy acts and of all thy wisdom. Howbeit, I believed not the words until I came, and my mind eyes have seen it. And behold, the half was not told me. Thy wisdom and prosperity exceeded the fame which I heard. Happy are thy men. Happy are these servants which stand continually before thee and that hear thy wisdom. Blessed be the Lord thy God, which delighted in thee to set thee on the throne of Israel, because the Lord loved Israel forever. Therefore may he be king to do judgment and justice." And she gave the king 120 talents of gold and of spices, very great store, and precious stones. There came no more such abundance of spices as these which the queen of Sheba gave to King Solomon. Precious Lord, we thank you for the word of God, and we thank you for the power of God. And Father God, we, like Solomon, we have, like Sheba, have hard questions concerning thee, Father God, and we ask that you would just bless us with wisdom from on high, like you blessed the Queen of Sheba. Give us that wisdom, Father God, that we may be strong in the things of God, strong in our knowledge and our wisdom of God. And so when we have situations and occasions where we need encouragement, we need wisdom, we need knowledge, that we can just open up the storehouse, Father God. And we'll be able to answer any question that the world may ask us. Father, thank you in Jesus' name for all you do. Amen. 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 What a powerful text. And we talk about the queen of Sheba and her visit to King Solomon. And when I looked at the lesson in light of last week, and last week we talked about the passion of the believer. And here, last week we talked about passion meaning energy and the force and the fuel that's needed to do God's work. And we talked about purpose last week. Well, purpose is what you want to do. What you want to do for the Lord. We want to do things for the Lord. We want to do things for God. But without passion, we won't be able to. Amen. We won't be able to, because passion fuels our purpose. And we have a purpose that we're going to have a wonderful VBS on coming up next week. But without passion, we won't be able to do it. Passion fuels our purposes. Passion fuels our plans. Here we see the king of Sheba, the queen of Sheba. She had heard of the fame of Solomon concerning the name of the Lord, concerning the things of God. She had heard that this man, this king, knew something. He knew something about God that no one else knew. And her purpose was to learn about these things. Her purpose was to come to the king. But her passion got her there. The word of God says she came to prove him with hard questions. Now, folks, we don't want to think that Queen Sheba was like the Pharisees. She wasn't. The Pharisees wanted to prove him wrong. They came to test him and question him to find some fault in Jesus. When they questioned Jesus, this great queen of Sheba came to learn. She has some hard questions that have been on her heart. And all of us do. You hear us talking all the time. When we get to heaven, I got to ask God about this. Y'all hear me say all the time, when I get to heaven, I want to see those sailors. And I want to ask them, did they see the whale swallow up Jonah? And we make light of it. But we do. We have some questions that will be answered in heaven. Okay, that will be answered in heaven. I was talking about conferences and people coming together, and they got all these questions. You got the G5 summit going on, all these great leaders from all over the world coming together, and they got all these different questions on how to make the world better. Well, I believe the Queen of Sheba wanted to make her country better, and she came and sought answers from God's man. Now, five things we find in this text. Okay, about Queen of Sheba's visit to Solomon. First thing we see is that she sought him. She sought him. And then it says, and then she saw his wisdom. And then she said where she was satisfied with the answers that she got from Solomon. And then the last part of it, she shared it. She took it back. She shared her wealth with Solomon, but most definitely she took her information back to her country. And made our country and our people better. Let's look at this seeking. And again, we talked about last week. To seek means passion. You gotta have passion to seek. You know, we sit here and we wonder, wow, where's everybody at? Why don't people come to church? And I know it's not just this church. It's a lot of churches. It's got a lot of things going on. But we may have a purpose to come to church. And most people will say, I'm going to church. But what gets us there? Passion. Okay? Passion. It's the passion of God that gets us there. Okay? Matthew, in Matthew's book of Matthew, this is a familiar one for us all, says, therefore take no thought, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or whether shall we be clothed? And that's a lot of issues for folks. They worry a lot about what they're going to eat or what they're going to drink, or they worry about clothing and shelter and different things like that. What does God say? He says, but seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. And for those of us who have been seeking for many, many years, there's no shortage. Okay, there's no shortage. David had made the comment that he traveled all over the world. David said, I've been all over the world. I've seen the greatest and I've seen the least. And David said, I've seen just about everything a man can see. But you know what David said he never saw? He said, I've never saw the righteous forsaken. Okay? He said, I've never saw the righteous forsaken. Forsaken by God. Anybody in here feel like you've been forsaken by God? Okay? And I don't care what you're going through. We all going through stuff. Everybody in here, if I say everybody in here, we're all going through. Amen. Some of us put both hands up. Okay? But you one thing for certain, God will never forsake you. Okay? He will never forsake you. David, in First Chronicles, the writer writes this. He says this about that passion to seek the things of God. Lord, give me the passion to seek the things of God. That should be in our prayers. When we pray, God, give me the passion to serve you. Give me the passion to live for you. Okay? Chronicles said, I seek the Lord in his strength and seek his face continually. And that word's been coming up in scripture. I'm always going to have to preach a series on that word continually, because that's what the word of God has been pressing on me. And I've seen it in Hebrews. I see it here in Chronicles. Give me strength to seek thy face continually. Meaning what? Good times or bad. When I'm up, when I'm down, when I'm going through. Listen, when I'm doing well, that's the hardest time to seek God. Is when we're doing well. Okay? Sometimes God has to turn off all the noise just to get our attention. Sometimes God had to put us on our back or put us on our face or take some stuff away from us just to get our attention, because he's been so good to us and we haven't been seeking him in the good times. But the writer of Chronicles says, I seek the Lord in his strength and seek his face continually. continually. She asked Solomon some hard questions. She, the Bible says she sought his wisdom. Okay? When she sought him and she saw his wisdom. What's that mean? You see somebody's wisdom. Okay? And usually you can see it by what comes out of their mouth. Okay? How they're living, how they respond to things, how they respond to good, and how they respond to adversity, and how they respond to trials. What can keep them away from praising God, or what can keep them away from serving God, or worshiping God, or giving to God? How do they respond when God takes from them? She's seen all this. She has some hard questions. Imagine one of us being in the presence of Solomon. Because she saw a lot of things. The Bible says she saw a lot of things. But before she saw some things, she communed with Solomon, all that was on her heart. Imagine some of the questions she might ask Solomon. I thought about this. I thought about this. And I put it in my own perspective. And I'm like, okay, I'm gonna be like the Queen of Sheba, because I would have to ask God some things too. Okay? What would be the first thing you would ask God if you was talking to this man who was connected to God? You say, Solomon. And Solomon wrote a great book. And you ever get a chance, just read these Proverbs. It's an easy read. Easy read. It's not real difficult to understand. Well, what is the most important thing for a man and a woman's life, Solomon? That's what Queen of Sheba would probably say. What is the most important thing? You know what Solomon would probably say? Wisdom is the principal thing. Therefore, get wisdom, and with all you're getting, get understanding. How about that? That'd be a good answer. She might say, man, I never thought about that. Yeah. She's coming to sit down and talk to Solomon. Wisdom is the principal thing. Wisdom. Not worldly wisdom. Some of us got that. Some of us can maneuver our way. Some of us can go right to New York City and act like we've been living there all life. We just got that worldly wisdom. We can just walk all through Chinatown and the Bronx and Brooklyn and all that, and nobody even know we was out of towners. But when we get that godly wisdom, okay, and that godly wisdom is going to prepare us for whatever comes thy way. It says, wisdom is the principal thing. Therefore, get it. Now we had the responsive reading today, and it took one of the verses. Okay, what else? What else is important, Mr. King Solomon? Here, trust in the Lord. Trust in the Lord. How about that? Trust in the Lord with all thine heart. Okay, with all thine heart. That means, you know, that means the Lord is getting it all. The world ain't getting any of it. And that's what the Word of God says. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not unto thy own understandings. You know why? I heard Jeremy say, some of us get emotional. Some of us get emotional. And when we all in our emotions, when we all in our feelings, guess what? That ain't a good time to do. Make a decision. Amen. You know what? Car salesmen love folks to come on a dealership and all in their emotions. Okay? And they'll leave out of there with a red convertible Thunderbird or because they come in there all their emotions, you know. You come in there with all their emotions. I remember being in I call them a 7-Eleven, and the female come in. I'm not getting on females because Queen Sheba was a great female, but this one came in and she had like four or five cartons of ice cream, and she was like, you know, my boyfriend left me and I'm feeling some kind of way. And so they just, ice cream was her thing. And all of us got a thing. When we going through something, some of us like to go shopping. Some of us, we do different things. But the Word of God says, trust in the Lord with all thy heart and lean not onto your own understanding. When you're confused, it's not a good time to lean on your own understanding. Amen. Okay? It's not a good time to lean on your own understanding. Solomon would say this to her. There's a way. I like this one. One of my favorite verses. He said, there's a way that seemeth right unto a man or a woman, but the end thereof are the ways of death. And what he means by that is it's death in essence is being you don't have eternal life. You lean on your own understanding and you follow the way that seems right to you. That rate probably ain't right to God.
Amen.
Okay? It's probably not right to God. How about this one? What about this? What about our children? We look at the world today and we say, what about our children? What, Solomon, what would you tell me? What advice would you give me to take back to my country and talk to my people about the children? I like that. Got Kier there with Justin. Here's what you do. Solomon would say, train up a child in the way he should go. And when he is old, let his butt go. And if what you have in him is in him, then I'll change some of the verse. He will not depart. Okay?
Amen.
He will not depart. See, the father of the prodigal son put something in him. Okay? He put something in him. And then when the prodigal son start feeling himself and smelling himself and walking around, you know, hey, look, give me mine. Give me my inheritance. I don't even want to be here. I wish you was dead. Act like you did. Give me my money. And the father said, here you go, sonny. And he went away into a far country. And then what happened? Y'all know the story. The famine came. Sometimes trouble, God uses trouble and famine and hard times to get us right. The famine came and the trouble came and what was the boy getting ready to do? Eat the pig's food. Eat the pig's slop. Okay? And then y'all know what he did. Came to his senses. What that means is the things that the father had put in the son start resonating in him. I remember my father used to tell me this. I remember how the servants in my father's house, that servants eating better than me. Okay? And I remember, you know, the nice things and the good times, and there was responsibilities and there was structure, and I wasn't living like this. And what did he do? The Bible says he dropped the pail, jumped the rail, and hit the trail. He got back right with God.
Amen.
Okay? It wasn't so much that he came back to his father's house, but he got right back into a right relationship with God, and he needed that adversity. Okay? He needed some trials and he needed some adversity, and a lot of times we don't want our children to suffer, and because they don't suffer, they don't grow. Oh, you say so many wonderful things, King Solomon, about God. What don't God like? Solomon had an answer for. Solomon answered every question in her heart. Here's what God don't like. I'll give you six things. A proud look, a lying tongue, hands that shed innocent blood, Proverbs 6:16, and a heart that devises wicked imaginations, feet that run swiftly to mischief. Mm-hmm. A false witness that speaketh lies, and he that soweth discord among the brethren. Solomon, you got some answers, don't you? That's right. Solomon had some answers for this woman, and he answered everything to her. Here's a question I would have. I say, Solomon, how do you stay so sharp? How do you stay so focused? This is where we was at this morning. So, and kept one of y'all was in Sunday school messing with my sermon, but that's fine. How do you stay focused? You know, here's how. Proverbs 27:17, Solomon would say this. Iron sharpeneth iron. How about that? Iron sharpeneth iron. So a man sharpeneth the countenance of his friend. You stay with sharp people. You hang around people that know the Lord. You hang around people that can make you stronger. What I see a lot of folks do, to hang around folks that make them weaker. Okay? Hang around people that's going to make you better. And if that means being by yourself more than normal, then that's fine. Okay? But when you hang around someone, if you want to get in a relationship and a friendship, make sure that person can make you stronger. Listen, Solomon wrote all this stuff. Solomon, what do I tell my men? What would I tell my men when I get back to Ethiopia? What could I tell my men? How about this? Proverbs 23. I thought, and these are questions. I'm just taking from the text. What do I tell my men? Because my men are getting in trouble. They're getting in trouble. The prisons are full, and they're getting in trouble, and they're going to jail, and they're doing all kind of crazy stuff. What? Give me some advice to tell my men. Proverbs 23 and 19. How about this? You listen to me, Justin, since you're here, I'm going to pick on you. Hear thou, my son, and be wise, and guide thy heart in the way. What's that mean? Let me stop there. And guide thy heart in the way. Let the Lord lead you.
Amen.
Okay? Let the Lord lead you. And if there's some questionable things in your path or in that way, let the Lord lead you.
Amen.
Lean not onto what? Your own understanding. Watch this. Be not among wine bibbers. We used to call them wine heads back in the day. You hang around wine heads. Why? What's the danger of hanging around wine heads? You're going to be a wine head. Don't hang around wine heads. See, all of these are stuff that's in the Bible. Toya looking at me. You don't, that ain't in the Bible. Yes, it is, Toya. See, I'm looking at it. I'm reading it. Be not among wine bibbers, among riotous eaters of flesh. Riotous eaters of flesh. For the drunkard and the glutton shall what? Come to poverty. How about that? Drinking up wine and wine, drinking wine and beer don't make you want to eat a salad. Okay, Taco Bell and Wendy's and McDonald's ain't open 24/7 anymore because folk want to come in there and eat salad. They want some fries and they want some flesh and they want some grease. Okay, and that don't give you energy. That kind of diet don't give you energy. That make you sleep all day. You gotta sleep this thing off. Okay. For the drunkard and the glutton shall come to poverty. How many of us know? How many know folks like that?
Yep.
Okay. All right. For the drunkard and the glutton shall come to poverty, and drowsiness shall clothe a man with rags. Drowsiness. Drinking and eating make you drowsy. Really, that drowsiness means make you lazy. And lazy people. And drunkards shall be clothed with rags. Well, that's what the Word of God says. What should I tell my women, Mr. Solomon? I thought this was interesting. What should I tell my women? How can I help my women, Mr. Solomon? She asks all these questions. Okay? I'm going to sit here and say, well, Solomon should have known about women. Okay? I'm just going to read four of these verses. I could read them all, and they would all be wonderful to me. But Solomon wrote this. He says in Proverbs 31 and 10, some of you women have gone to women conferences and women days, and you've heard most of these, and you probably studied them on your own. But Solomon says, who can find a virtuous woman? How about that? Who can find a virtuous woman? And some of these don't come a dime a dozen. Okay? They're not everywhere. But who can find a morally upright woman that loves the Lord and serves God with all her might? Who can find one of them? How about that? 31:26. She opened her mouth with wisdom, and her tongue is the law of kindness. How about that? You get a woman to open her mouth and wisdom come out. How about that? And her tongue is the law of kindness. How about this one? Verse 30. Favor is deceitful, and beauty is vain. But a woman that feareth the Lord, she shall be praised. She shall be praised. The world not going to praise you. Okay? The world not praising no virtuous woman. Okay? The world saying, why you dressed like that, covered up? You need to, you know, you got nice this or nice that. You need to show it. You walk through Walmart or somewhere and you see shorts that just like 6-7 inches big. I'm like, who wear them? Let's keep going. She saw, and I wrote down some of the things that she saw. We covered some of them, but she saw his wisdom. She tested it, and he answered her question. She saw his house, and we knew the temple was magnificent. It was magnificent. She saw the meat of his table. The Bible said she saw the meat of his table. Okay. I'm in 1 Kings 10 and 4, and it says, and when the queen of Sheba had seen all Solomon's wisdom, she answered every question he could answer. Okay, every question. Here's one. She saw his wisdom. I have to share this one with you. I'm gonna have to go back, but she saw his wisdom. Two women came to Solomon. Y'all know this story. Two women came to Solomon. 1 Kings 3. Two women came to Solomon. Okay, living in the same house. That's how they did back in the days. And the King James Bible said these were two harlots. Harlots had babies, and they had babies. Each mother had an infant son, and they came to Solomon, and one of the babies had been smothered. Mother rolled over on the baby, woke up, the baby was dead. So one of the mothers went and took the other baby that was alive and switched it off. The other lady must have been a heavy sleeper. And switched it off. And now they go to court. And they stand before Solomon. They stand before Solomon. Y'all know this story. Okay? And they call out, and this baby's mine, and this baby's mine, this baby's mine. And Solomon says, I got an answer. Give me a sword. Give me a sword. And I'll cut the baby in half, and I'll give each of you a half. And the one mother said, yeah, do that. Do that. And the other one said, no, 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 no. Give it to her. Let him live. Solomon had wisdom. She got it. She got a dose of it. She got a dose of it. Look, and we keep going back. Going back here. When she came to his house and what she's seen. She's seen all. I lost my pace. Okay. Stay with me. All right. And when the queen has seen all his Solomon's wisdom, she couldn't answer no more questions. And she's seen the house. Okay. Magnificent. And the meat on his table. The cuts and the amount of it and how beautiful it was prepared. Don't just think it was just meat, but this, how it was prepared. It was prepared like she had never seen. And remember, this is the Queen of Solomon. This is the Queen of Sheba. So she's seen greatness before. She's seen wonderful stuff before. This woman was, in our day and age, she would have been a billionaire. Okay? Mm-hmm. So she would have been used to eating like a king or a queen as she was. So you wouldn't think of taking her to Texas Roadhouse would have impressed her. Okay? But when she seen the meat on his table and how fabulous it was and how it was prepared and placed and the sitting of his servants, I like that. In the sitting of his servants. They were there, they were attentive, they were waiting to serve. Okay? They were waiting to serve. In the attendance of his ministers. How about that? The attendance of his ministers. In their apparel. In their apparel. And his cupbearers. Now, when you say cupbearers, those were people who held the cups for the king, tasted the food for him. But in a different sense, even the cups, heard one commentator say, even the cups was magnificent. That they drank out of was magnificent. Everything about Solomon was magnificent. Everything about the king, the king and his wisdom and all that she's seen was magnificent. Let me talk about this apparel. And some folks, you come to church, you got a robe on, you got a suit on, and you got a collar on. And listen, let me tell you something, okay? When they talk about his apparel, we talk about how we present ourselves before the Lord. Okay, how we come into God's presence, it ought to mean something. Okay, it ought to mean something when we come to the Lord. Amen. And I see folks come to the Lord and they got on the mini skirts and spandex and flip flops and hey, that's you. And maybe one day God sit there and say, you know what, would you present yourself like that if you was going to the White House? Mm-hmm. If you was going to stand before the judge, if you was going to court, stand before the judge. How would you go? How would you go? Oh, we don't like to hear it. We don't like to hear it. But when she seen the apparel and there's more to that story. When she seen it, it meant something. You know, you have to prepare to stand before God. Okay? You just can't blow into God's presence. Okay? Worship is costly. Okay, worship is sacrificial. We don't look at it like the apparel, man. You get all into that clothing stuff, and I can hear folks say it now. I can hear folks say, you know, and come to church in kind of way, you know. All right, that's fine. Okay, that's fine. But worship is costly, and when they seen this apparel was magnificent. This apparel, this wasn't like just going to. I can't think of the men's warehouse and buying a little cheap suit. And all of these folks, there may have been thousands of them in Solomon's kingdom. There may have been thousands of folks, and they all had on this costly apparel. Okay, they had it all on, and they were the sitting of them, meaning they were trained. There was preparation. There was sacrifice made. You just can't serve the Lord without sacrifice and without instruction and without preparation, without training. You can't. And this is the point that Solomon's saying. There got to be some sacrifice. There got to be some instruction. There got to be some preparation. You just can't just flip off the TV and hop in the car and go to church. And see, we got it so today, you know, we just got to make the sinners happy. We got to make the sinners happy. It's got to be laid back and casual, you know, sporty. You ask, well, what do I need to do? What do I need to? How do I need to dress to come to your church? Well, and it don't matter. You can come any kind of way. I hope none of y'all tell people that. This church I visited in Cleveland, right in the program. Tell you, right in the program. Suit and tie, sport coat and tie. I don't have a problem with it. Some folks look at it, oh, I ain't going there. God, they want you to wear a tie. You're coming before the Lord in your spandex and your flip-flops and your Nikes and your Under Armour and your Adidas. That's the same stuff you wear to the carnival. Mm-hmm. And that's the same stuff you wear to the festival. And maybe in Queen Sheba's, maybe that's what they did because that's brought up. And maybe they didn't reference the worship. Maybe they came as you are, come as you are. Maybe they had dress down day and old farmer's day. You know, we have all that stuff at the church now. You know, country day. I went had one church hip hop day. Went down to my sister's church. It was hip hop Sunday, and all the preachers in the pulpit were dressed like rappers. And I'm sitting here like, are you serious? Are you serious? They had on rappers. They had on hats to the side. They had on the boots. Y'all know them gold boots they wear. Tim's. They had on Tim's. They had jeans on. They were sagging. And I'm sitting here like, are you serious? I'm in Atlanta. I drive all the way from Youngstown to come to this. I'm the only one in there with a suit on and 100 degrees outside. And I'm sitting here. But that's what we do now. We just come before God any kind of way. Any kind of way. Any kind of way. There you go, Pastor, on the hobby horse. No, I ain't on a hobby horse. It just... You have it in, I see it in the world, dress for success. You ain't going on a job interview. You get an interview with a job, you're going just a certain way. She's seen all that. Here's something. Watch this one. Just remember the old song back in the day, Didn't I Blow Your Mind This Time? Vernon, you remember that? Didn't I blow your mind this time? Didn't I? I didn't think Ann listened to that back when she was coming. I thought she was like a real teetotaler. Like, I ain't listening to that. She was sneaking out in the backyard with that big radio listening to the shot stylistics. No, but here's what happens. Watch what happens to the Queen of Sheba. I keep missing my page. Watch what happens here. And this is the one that really got her. This is the one that really got her. And it ought to get us. Watch this now. Now I'm in verse 5 of 1 Kings 10. This is the good part. And the meat of the table, she seen the meat of the table, the sitting of his servants, the attendance of his ministers, in their apparel. She taking note of all this stuff. This woman is observant. This woman is discerning. This is a great woman of God who is wants to make sure that she is doing things right. She's taking all this stuff back to her kingdom. Okay? Hopefully some of us will take just back to our heart, and we'll adjust some things we may need to do. But she's seen his servants, the sitting of his servants, how they come in, how they sat down, how they got up, the attendance of his ministers in their apparel, his cupbearers. Now, here's a good part right here. Here's the part that got her. Here's the part that got her. And his ascent by which he went up into the house of the Lord. And there was no more spirit in her. When she seen how Solomon stood before God, and how he prayed, and how he communed with God, and how he communicated with God, the seriousness of it, the reverence of it, the emotions and everything involved. Solomon had a great relationship with God. God spoke to Solomon. In that one story there, Solomon said, the Lord spoke to Solomon in vision, said, Solomon, ask me anything you want, and I'll give it to you. Okay? And Solomon asked what? Wisdom. So she sat and watched how Solomon prayed. I sit here and say, Jeremy, can you pray this morning? And all you watch, I saw Jeremy prepared, how he put the speaker down, got down on his knees, and he started to pray. Now, she watched Solomon, how he, the Bible says, his ascent to which he went up into the house of the Lord. How about that? It's almost like she's seen Solomon's spirit leave his body and go into the presence of God. Can you imagine the greatness of Solomon and how he must have presented himself to the Lord? The Bible says, in his ascent in which he went up into the house of the Lord. Imagine that. And the Bible says, there was no more spirit in her. The Bible says she fainted. One commentator says she's fainted. Imagine somebody seeing you worship the Lord, seeing you pray, and seeing you offer up incense to the Lord, and so much reverence, so much respect for God, so much love for God, so much love for the grace and mercy that God has shown you, that they faint watching you prepare to go before God. What would somebody say? Watch us go before God. as his people, as we they come into our church and they say, man, that was some kind of service. I never seen nothing like that before in my life. I never heard a word preached like that. Never heard a song sang like that. This is what she's seen. She's seen all this when she came into the presence of Solomon. And Solomon gave her everything she asked for. Okay? Let's keep going. I lost track here, but y'all stay with me. It says all her heart. Psalms 34. I look at this Psalms. She saw everything that Solomon did. God says we should be able to see some of the things that God has done too. We should be able to see God at work. We should be able to go to God in prayer, and we should be able to cry out to God too. The Word of God keeps saying that over and over and over and over and over. You hear it over and over and over. How's your crying? When we cry out to the God, the Word of God being, when they say to them, this poor man cried in Psalm 34 and 6, this poor man cried and the Lord what heard him. And Solomon, obviously when Solomon stood before the Lord and he made his ascent to the Lord heard him. So there was a response. In the Old Testament, God responded differently than he does in the New Testament, but she's seen it. David writing this, he says, the angel of the Lord encamped up round about them that fear him and deliver them. That word fear means reverence him. Solomon had great reverence for God. How's our reverence for God? How's our reverence for God? We show up in the city, and some of us, we just, you know, anytime, any kind of way, we just show up, you know, hour late, half hour late, 15 minutes late, 20 minutes late. When Solomon sit here and watch the men sit, they were on time. They were on time. They were sitting. They were prepared. They knew their roles. Church has got a long way to go. Okay, we just show up, and you have to be prepared to come to God's house and stand before God. You ought to be prepared. You ought to be prepared. That's what Solomon is. That's what I'm getting out of it. You ought to be prepared. Look at verse 6 and 9 again. She's seen all that. There was no more spirit in her. The Bible says she was satisfied. She was satisfied. And I give you those five things. She was what? Satisfied. You know what it means to be satisfied? Satisfied. Hey, I'm good. Solomon, I didn't come here to question you or to condemn you. I just came to get some answers. And I'm satisfied. See, we're not satisfied. We don't live in a world of satisfied. I listened to the news this week. Two multi-millionaires commit suicide. The one woman that owned Mademoiselle magazine, worth millions. Then the other guy, the chef on TV, I'm sitting here like, not satisfied. And some people say, well, you know, they suffer from depression. Mm-hmm. Everybody is. Who in here ain't? Who in here ain't? Who in here ain't suffering from a little depression?
Amen.
This is the world we live in. All you gotta do is turn on TV and you get depressed. you ain't got everybody. See, it's a different kind of depression. You know Jesus.
Amen.
Okay. Jesus said, well, take my yoke upon you. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Since our, you know, I mean, we're going to get depressed, and people don't understand. Pastor in church, most, when you go to the top 10 professions that's the most depressed, being a pastor is in the top 5. Okay? Yeah. It is. How be it? Watch this now. And she said to the king, it was true. It was a true report. Remember the report she got in verse number 1? She had all these things about the king. She had all these things about the king. And she traveled hundreds of miles. It ain't like today. Okay, it ain't like today where she just rented a van and drove to it would probably be from here maybe to Georgia, who knows how long they walked on these camels and these beasts of burdens carrying all this stuff. Took a caravan. It took them months to get to where Solomon was at. Okay? But she was desperate of the truth. And when she heard it in verse number 6, she said, it was true. It was a true report that I heard in my own land of the acts of thy wisdom. She came and she was satisfied. Watch this now. Howbeit, I believed not the words until I came. How about that? I had to see it for myself. That's a good way to put it. I had to see it for myself. In my eyes, here's what she says, in my eyes have seen it. She getting ready to, preach now. She getting ready to give it to Solomon back. She getting ready to tell Solomon what she thought of him. Now watch this now. Watch this now. This woman is getting ready to bring it down to Solomon. Howbeit, I believe not the words until I came. And my eyes had seen it. And behold, the half was not told me. Thy wisdom and thy prosperity exceeded thy fame which I heard. She's talking to Solomon now. Happy are thy men. Happy are these servants which stand continually before thee and that hear thy wisdom. Blessed be the Lord thy God which delighted in thee to set thee on the throne of Israel. Who did she get credit for? Put Solomon there. She had learned something from Solomon because Solomon never probably told her, you know what, I worked my way from the bottom all the way to the top. Okay? That's how the Mormons do. See, the Mormons, you come in and you work yourself up to be bishop and top notch. No, Solomon never exalted himself. Solomon said, everything I have, God gave. I thank God for everything I had. That had to be in his ascent. When Solomon went to the throne and prayed and offered up sacrifice to God, she seen that. She recognized that. And she said it right here in her own words. She said, blessed be the Lord thy God, which delighted to set thee on the throne of Israel. Solomon didn't run for office. He didn't promote himself. He didn't put out flyers, put me to make me next king. God put him there. God put him there, and he always gave God that. Same thing David did his father. Remember who his father was? David. David. And what did God say about David? He's a man after my own heart. And Solomon was following the footsteps of his dad. Watch this now. He says, because the Lord loved Israel, therefore made thee king to do judgment and justice. That was the king's job. To do judgment and justice. I'm almost finished here. She was satisfied. She was satisfied. She was satisfied with her trip. Didn't want no problem with it. I don't regret coming. I've seen everything I needed to see. Got all my questions answered. And this has been magnificent to get answers from you. You know, when these kids come to VBS, and I'm saying this on Wednesday night, they're going to have some questions. They're going to have different things they want to ask you and talk to you about. And some of them may be uncomfortable for you and everything. But you know what? You just tell them what Jesus, just give them the gospel. Talk to these kids about the love of God. Talk to these kids about how Jesus saved you and how he blessed you. And there was times where we went through some trouble too. And there were difficult times. Don't sell this whole Christian thing as, oh, when you get to know Jesus, everything going to be wonderful. No, don't tell them that. When you tell them that, you become a wolf in sheep clothing. See? That's what the wolves tell the sheep. Okay? Everything gonna be wonderful. Okay? And then they turn into lamb chops. If preachers tell you everything gonna be wonderful, y'all know they lying.
Amen.
Okay? You need to say, hey, dude, look. You love the Lord, and you can still go through. Well, let me even rephrase that. You love the Lord, you will go through. It ain't going to stop this world from doing what it do. Okay? Watch. She was satisfied. I had so many different points up here I wanted to make. I don't know if I could make them all. But she was satisfied. Psalms. David. He said, my soul be satisfied. David was satisfied, even in the wilderness. This is David's psalm in the wilderness. I'm in Psalm 63. He in the wilderness. He on the run. He away from the throne. And he offers up this prayer. Psalm 63. You guys familiar with some of these? You can hear when I say them. But here's David in the wilderness. He's away from the king. He's away from the kingdom. He's not able to give God the sacrifices that God rightfully deserves. And listen to what David is saying in the wilderness. And some of us, we're going to get in the wilderness too. And David says this, when I was in the wilderness of Judah, O God, thou art my God. Early what? Will I seek thee? My soul thirsted for thee. My tongue longed for thee in a dry and thirsty land where there was no water. To see thy power and thy glory, so as I have seen thee in the sanctuary. And Solomon seen the power of God in the sanctuary. And we come to God's sanctuary, we ought to see the power of God. We ought to see the power of God. And the word of God ought to be powerful to us. Because of thy loving kindness is better than life. My lips shall praise thee. My lips shall praise thee. And I long for the day to hear the folks in the church singing again. Almost like I'm in the wilderness. I want to hear the folks singing again. We didn't shut our mouths. You know, we can't find time. And we can make all the different excuses, but a lot of times it just boils down to, I don't have time to rehearse. Got too many other things going on. Okay? Getting this money. Got to do this. Got to do that. Got to do this. Got to do that. Well, maybe we satisfied. Maybe we satisfied. Just excuses. I think a lot of Christians got to build in. It's in the built in us. It's a button. It's a quit button. Got a quit button in us. And we got to keep our finger on it, you know. People out here, the president got his finger on the bomb. He getting ready to blow up the world. And I think we got that same button in us. You know, something happen we don't like. You know, something go on we don't like. Somebody say something we don't like. Preacher say something, he didn't speak to me or whatever. He got to, I'm going to hit the quit button on you. I'm going to hit the quit button on you. Disconnect the quit button. Take your finger off the quit button, because you're gonna get offended in church.
Amen.
You get offended on your job, you don't quit. Come to church and he talking about me. I like to gamble, I like to drink, I like to smoke. I ain't talking about none of you. Okay. I like doing all three of them. At one time, I did all three of them. Yeah. Gamble, you know, people talk to me and I listen, I'm going to Las Vegas. Go ahead. You know what I say? I wish I had all the money I lost out the front out there. Yeah. I wouldn't be working. Vegas. You see, all of us been delivered from something.
Amen.
And all of us in need of deliverance. Still got issues. Okay? You're going to die with issues. Yes. Most think, well, you know, I'm going to get it all together. No, you're never going to get it all together until you get before the Lord. And when the Lord covers you with his saving blood, you have it all together. But in the meantime, you're going to have these struggles. And the Bible says, many are the afflictions of the righteous, and all who desire to live godly in Christ shall suffer. We're going to suffer our way home.
Amen.
Now, when you stop suffering, it may be you just stopped. You just stop suffering, maybe because you don't want to go home. Suffering is, as long as you're suffering, you know, give me some adversity, Lord. And we don't like to pray that. Give me some adversity, Lord. I ain't got away from you. I'm not serving you like I need to. I'm not committed to you like I need to. You know, you almost asking God, give me some adversity. Give me a trial. Give me a test to get me back to you. Okay? Give me a test to get me back to this. Let me give you the last point on this, because I can be long. She shared. You see verse 10? Look at verse 10. See, when people of God come to God's house, and you can always tell when folks getting something. When folks is getting something and God is speaking to them, guess what happened? The offering goes up. Okay? You know, the offering go up. I know it. I can be offending people because offer go down. Oh. Yeah, you get on people's nerves. Offer go down. You say what people want to hear. Offer go up. I go to one church in Columbus when, you know, they run down and throw money at the people, at the preacher's feet. And I'm like, what they doing? Every time he get excited and start running up and down, running all around. People start holding money and they start running down at his feet. I'm like, wow, that's different. She got some wisdom from God. She got some knowledge from Solomon. She got all her questions answered. You know what she did? Same thing the woman with the alabaster box did. She broke that thing open and poured it all over Jesus. She poured it all over Jesus. What did Judas say? Man, she wasting all that? She wasting all that? When she realized that her sins had been forgiven, that she was in a right relationship with God, she said, pow, busted that box, poured it on Jesus' feet. He came, she realized what? Jesus came to die for me. He came to die for me. I'm going to prepare him. I'm going to use everything that I have to prepare him for this death. How about that? Watch what Queen Sheba did. And in verse 10, the Bible says, and she gave the king 120 talents of gold and of spices, very great store, and precious stones, and there came no much more. I mean, she laid it all out. She laid it all out. She blessed him. She said, you have blessed me, I'm going to bless you. You have blessed me, I'm going to bless you. God has blessed me. God has blessed me. God has blessed me, and I can't get God enough. I go, sometimes I write the checks. I'm like, God, you've been so good to me. I wish I could give you more. I wish I could give you more. I wish I had a house payment. I wish I didn't have this, some debt that I have. I wish I could just give you more because you've been good to me, and God's been good to me. And, you know, I don't tell my testimony like I hear some people tell their testimonies. I just tell it like the Bible says. I was a great sinner. Okay? I don't get into the details. So don't get into the details of your testimony. Amen. Okay? Because sometimes I hear it sound like you want to go back. You know? You know, I have heard testimonies. You know, I was a Mac Daddy pimp. I was busting ladies all over the place. And then God saved me. No. Leave that alone. Leave that. Nobody need to hear all that. It's too much information. Okay? Amen. You was a great sinner. See? It's all. Bernie gave his testimony. He said, I was a great sinner. We don't need to hear all the details. I had 100 women. God's been good to us.
Amen.
This little faithful few, God's been good to us. And you know, a lot of the charlatan money grabbing preachers, they'll take this and say, you know, give it all, give it all, get all. You know, I talked to a guy the other day, and he said, I had $1,500 in the bank, and I gave it all to the Lord. That's all he talked about. Yeah, I gave it all to the Lord. A week later, you know, I got $1,800 back. And that's all they talk about. That's all. You talking to the charismatic people, all they talk about is this stuff. You know, I did this and God gave me this. I did this and God gave me this. I did this and God gave me that. That ain't how God works. Okay? That ain't how God works. You give to God because he died for your sins.
Amen.
He hung on Calvary's cross and he died for your sins. And God is not requiring you to give anything physically. He don't need your money. You know, God wants us to praise him. Praise don't cost us nothing. It should be sacrificial, but monetarily it don't cost us nothing to praise God. Turn on the radio, praise God. You come out here and you see me in my office study. I got the radio on and I'm listening to y'all. I'm pastor in there singing away. I'm praising God, being good to me. God's been good to us. God's been good to us. He's been good to us. Precious Lord, thank you. Thank you for being good to us.
Thank you, Lord.
Thank you for your son, Jesus. For God so loved the world. We were part of that world.
Yes.
That you gave your only begotten son. And he that believeth in him. It's all you require. That's to believe in him. Believe what? Believe that he was God in the flesh. Believe that this flesh was born of a virgin. And believe that this flesh walked this earth 33 and a half years and was sinless, without sin. He was the spotless Lamb of God. And because He was spotless and sinless. He was able to die for the sins of the world.
Yes, Lord.
And they hung him on a cross. Before they hung him on the cross, they scourged him, they mocked him, and they spit on him, and they slammed a crown of thorns on him, and he did no sins. The crown was for us. The thorns was for us. The nails was for us. The spittle was for us. The slapping around was for us. The purple robe was for us. And the world mocked Jesus, and the world's still going to mock us. They're going to mock us. You're a fool for believing in a Savior to die for your sins. But you required us to believe in him. And you said, whosoever, young and old, black and white, rich and poor, whoever believeth in him should not perish. Should not perish. But have everlasting life. One of the most militant verses in the Bible. One of the most militant verses in the Bible. Jesus is saying, if you don't believe in me, you're going to die and perish. Father, we believe. And for some of us who struggle, some of us may be sitting right here and struggling with believing in Jesus Christ. There was a man whose son was sick and dying and kept trying to kill himself. And the man came to the disciples. They couldn't do nothing. Jesus showed up and healed the boy. And the man came and says, I believe, but help me with my unbelief. I believe. There's a part of me that believe. There's a part of me that don't believe. And the part of me that don't believe is probably stronger than the part of me that believe. Lord, help me with my unbelief.
Yes, Lord.
Help me,
yes, Lord,
with my unbelief. Help me to live and to serve you. Help me to be the man or woman that you want me to be. Pray these things in Jesus' name.